This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. About to catch up with our buddy George Sinano, ESPN. Talk all things Mavs and NBA free agency. We'll hit the top 10 coming up on the other side. And, of course, we're an hour away from football's finest before we get into the expressway in that 5 o'clock hour. But right now, let's welcome in our buddy George Sinano. George, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I thought you guys were going to bring me on to talk about Malik Hooker and Micah Parsons, man. I was ready to talk about that.
We can do that, too, if you want.
I know you were. Hey, this is pretty crazy. I don't know how you're doing two things at once, because we're watching you on Around the Horn right now, yet we're talking to you over the airwaves. This is wild.
Multitasking beast.
You know, I mean, it's the magic of television, man. You know, that's how it works.
So you need to put Woody in a headlock there and take him out in this show, I think. I think you're going to do it. I think you're going to get this one done.
We'll see. We'll have to wait and see how it unfolds.
No spoilers like that. Here.
That's a good tease. So, George, what can you tell us about this version of Klay Thompson that our Dallas Mavericks are getting, and how stunned were the Lakers that he ended up choosing the Mavs over them?
I'll start with the last question. I think they were surprised that he chose the Mavericks over them, although the Lakers had some hurdles to clear that the Mavericks were proactive about. You guys moved Timmy, right? You made two moves, actually, but one included Timmy to kind of free up some space, and that allowed the transaction for Dallas to happen more fluidly, whereas the Lakers would have had to have made LeBron take a pay cut of about 50% to make that happen and accommodate Klay, because they haven't been able to move D'Angelo Russell because there's not much of a market at the moment for him at just under $20 million. So I think that that kind of helped facilitate the deal to Dallas. And I also think with Klay, I think he wants to win. And I think he's closer to that with Dallas. I mean, I was there, obviously, during the finals. And the one thing that stood out like a sore thumb was Dallas couldn't knock down a three in that series. So, and it wasn't anybody really knocking down a three in that series for the most part, outside of the one game where they won by 30 in Dallas in game four. So they're going to get a guy who can still shoot the hell out of the ball. I don't think there's any question about that. I think you're clearly getting a guy who's motivated, but I will temper some expectations. He's not the guy that he was even two seasons ago, the year after the injury, where he had a phenomenal season, particularly when you think that he came off those two gruesome injuries. And I want to say he had two of the highest scoring months of his career in that year. But he's not the guy that he was previous to the injury. Defensively, he's not the same guy anymore. I mean, he could probably guard your third best player or the third best opponent. He's no longer the two-way player he once was, where you could seek him on the other team's best offensive player. Like, those days are a bit behind him at this point.
George Sedano, ESPN, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Do you feel like the Mavericks are better based on the moves that they've made? Are they a better team than they were just a couple of weeks ago?
I do. I think Klay is an upgrade, and I think that, you know, look, and I like Josh Green too, right? But, like, I think Klay is an upgrade over either guy. And I like the Najee Marshall addition. Sneakily kind of like it, because he brings an added, like, layer of toughness. I don't know how much you guys have seen him play. Like, he is a tough, tough dude. And he, offensively, he can be a little streaky, but he's a good defender, and he can shoot a little bit. But again, it's just the offense is streaky. I think that the Pelicans liked him. They just liked their younger guys more. And I think that kind of put him in the situation that he was in and made him available. But I like him. Like, I don't think that, you know, I will say this. I would say he's easily like a top 8 or 9 rotation guy, in my opinion, on a good team. And I think Dallas is clearly a very good team. So I think that he can be in that mix and kind of fill some of the gaps that you lost maybe with a guy like Josh, for example.
George, you've been around some really good front office guys that have built teams and you know, championship teams and all that. I wanted to know, where are you with Nico? And, you know, we were all kind of like nervous with the whole, oh, he's coming from the Nike business, shoe business and all that. We're thinking, can he really make moves? Where are you now with him? Because we're all starting to fall in love with the way that he's not falling in love with his players. He's trying to go out and make his team a lot different.
He's a beast. I don't think there's any question about it. And I, too, was wondering how that would translate. But I would say this, the thing that has translated the most is his ability to have the relationships necessary to make this all work. And by the way, it's not just the relationships to say, hey, you know, I've known Kyrie since he was a teenager and I can bring him aboard and make it all work because I understand him in a way that few people understand him. It's also the relationships about the stuff you just mentioned, where he can be a human being and explain to guys, hey, this is a business. We loved your time here. We have to move on,
right.
Unfortunately, right? He can have those tough conversations, too. He's a relationship guy. He's always been a relationship guy. And I think that has been something that's been a huge plus for the Dallas Mavericks because he can both have the pleasant conversations and the unpleasant conversations.
Yeah, I think we were super impressed with he said Derrick Jones Jr. was plan 1A and plan 1B. Going into the offseason. Obviously, they lose him to the Clippers. He pivots to Najee Marshall, who you just told us about. Do you think the Mavericks are still good enough defensively, even with the loss of Derrick Jones Jr.?
I think Derrick Jones Jr. is a loss. I don't know if it's like a huge loss. I think defensively it's certainly a loss because he's an excellent point of attack defender, particularly. Like he's so long and athletic that you can put him at the top of a zone or you can have him guard one of the better players on the other side, particularly if it's a smaller guard and not a guy with a lot of girth, and I think he can have a lot of success. Could they find another one of those guys? Sure, but I also think they're banking on Derek Lively to get better too and really protect them defensively. And I think he's got another couple of levels, I think, Derek Lively, both on defense and offense. I think ultimately, I know people are going to look at Clay and Kyrie and Luka as a big three. I don't see it that way. And that's not a knock on Clay. I just think Derek Lively, and I told you guys when you drafted him, we had that conversation shortly thereafter that, and I talked about how I thought he was the perfect vertical threat for Luka, and defensively he's a beast, and an incredible human being. Because I got to meet him last year at Summer League. I do these like time capsules at Summer League with all the guys who get drafted, and we kind of put them in the bank and use them for moments like, for example, the finals, right? Where you can kind of pull some footage from that stuff about where they thought they would be in a year or 5 or 10, et cetera. And I came away blown away by him, as I mentioned to you guys a year or so ago. And I think he still has levels not only to his game on the floor, but his leadership. I mean, I was in those huddles during these finals, and he was as vocal as anyone in those huddles. I would say him and Kyrie were the two guys that were the most vocal as far as players were concerned. I think Markieff is in that conversation as well as a vocal leader type. But I think that for a guy who's a rookie to do that, I mean, that's impressive. So I believe if – not that I believe in big threes necessarily anymore. I think that that's kind of that's a model that's going out. I do think that he will be one of the top three players on the team in regards to his impact.
Yeah, he's a super beast. We love him. That's a guy that's the poster boy for like, hey, tanking can actually be good for you. That paid off in a huge way for the Mavericks. It's George Sedano of ESPN with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What about what Oklahoma City has done here this offseason? Have they impressed you as much as anybody?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the Caruso thing, it's like they stole him, in my opinion. Yeah. I was stunned. Alex Caruso is an elite-level defensive player. There is not a place on the floor that he cannot defend against another guard. Like, he is that good. And he's become a much more proficient shooter, which has allowed him, even though he's not a sharpshooter by any stretch of the imagination, he's someone you got to guard, is the way I would describe it offensively. And he's just a smart player. So I love that move. The Hartenstein move I like as well. They needed more size desperately because Chet, while I think he'll continue to put on more weight and more good weight, more muscle, et cetera, he did 15 pounds, I believe, from his rookie year. Well, his initial drafting to his rookie season, let's call it, that one year where he was hurt. And he'll put on more and more to get bigger and stronger, but they needed someone to help protect him. And Hartenstein was certainly a guy that blew me away at what kind of player he was. I remember the first time I saw him, it was easily like 5 or 6 years ago. I was calling the G League Showcase in Las Vegas with PJ Carlesimo on ESPN2, and he was with the Houston Rockets G League team at the time. And the knock on him back then was tons of talent, just he's got to get it, you know, the 6 inches between his ears. And he certainly has done that. He has found a role in this league. He has worked at that role. He's a defensive guy. He's a good offensive player, moves the ball really well. It'll fit perfectly with a young group who I think will be ready to contend here very soon. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous to say that about a one seed, but when you think that they were the youngest team in the NBA, and they were even younger than the college version of the North Carolina Tar Heels last season, I still feel like there's a lot of room to grow there.
Hey, George, you mentioned Coach with PJ. When you guys go to dinner, he gave us a 7-minute answer. We had him on.
It's pretty amazing.
Okay, when you guys go to dinner, yeah. Do you just like, can you eat your entire meal by the time he gets his first comment out? Or like you ask a question, hey, coach, tell me about Bronny and what you think about the Lakers. And then you start in like carving into your steak. How does that work?
No doubt. You eat. You're eating. Yeah, he's talking, you're eating. There's no doubt. And by the way, you're probably also having a few adult beverages while you're at it, too, in that. And he'll sneak in a few sips in between sentences, too.
Yeah.
Listen, there is no better person on earth in the NBA circuit to have dinner with than PJ Carlesimo. It is legendary, the type of meals that you'll have with him. I always tell people there are at least 5 restaurants in every NBA city that will stay open for him after a game.
Wow.
We did a lot of Nick and Sam's while we were right down the street from
there
where we were staying.
Good call.
We did a lot of Nick and Sam's in Dallas. But, yeah, he is incredible. It's so funny because my wife went to the All-Star game with me in Indy this year. And so I was on the broadcast with PJ and Mark Kestisher on ESPN Radio. And after the Saturday night, she met us at the restaurant. We went to St. Elmo's.
There you go.
The famous Indianapolis steakhouse with the shrimp cocktail and all that.
Yep.
And she got there. She got there probably just before midnight. We didn't leave that restaurant, okay, in Indianapolis, okay, till almost 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And when we got back to the hotel the next day, that night, my wife goes to me, "You guys do this all the time?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah. This dude is 73 years old, but he can go like a 25-year-old. Like, this is not a thing for him. This is not an issue for him." And she's like, "I don't know how you guys do it." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, every once in a while, you got to tap out if you're not ready to hang with him. That's for sure."
Man, stamina.
Yeah. We've been marveling at that dude's stamina for weeks now, ever since we had him on during the finals. He is a total stud, as are you, George.
So he grew up in an era, dude, that it's just like, those guys can just hang in a way that I can't.
Different breed.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you. We've been kicking this around on our show. One guy on our show we think has a terrible take on this. This is in regards to the Olympics, okay? Now, you're familiar with just how disgusting this Seine River is going to be in Paris where they have to swim. You familiar with that? Yeah.
So vaguely.
Okay, so this is like a sewage drainage basin. Calling it a river is really like it's an overstatement by a mile. It's been illegal to swim in these waters, George, for 100 years. It's that disgusting. They're trying to get it clean, but it's not working. E. coli is just rampant in these waters. So these athletes are going to be asked to swim in there. The question is, they're also trying to be environmentally friendly this summer in Paris, and they're not allowing air conditioning for a majority of the athletes. The U.S. is like, no, we're going to get that for our players. Our athletes, but for the most part, a lot of these guys are not, and girls are not going to have any air conditioning. So the question is, 5 to 10 minute little swim, doggy paddle style, hanging out in the sewage pool, the poo water, or 30 days no AC, what are you choosing, George Sedano?
Oh, no question. I'm going with the no AC in that scenario. Yeah. I am not jumping in sewage water. No chance in hell that is going to happen. I'd rather deal with no AC and just get some fans and figure it out, put some ice packs on, you know, whatever I need to do to survive. Look, the reality is, if I were at the Olympics as an athlete and I didn't have AC, I would just go to the events all day. And then I would just have to deal with sleeping, figure that out, take some melatonin, whatever you got to do to knock yourself out. And then that way you're up and ready to go when you need to go. But once you're done with your events, just stick, you know, if you're gonna be there or have to be there for several days between events or whatnot, just go out and enjoy the Olympic experience where there's going to be air conditioning.
George, you've been the right answer. You've been one of our favorite guests, but you dropped way down the list on that one.
Because, nope, I think you nailed that one, George.
No, I think swimming in the poo water is better than no AC.
You're an insane person. Yeah.
It's like the 70s there in Paris, George. I mean, it's very, very tolerable.
Yeah, it's not crazy heat.
It's
either fine.
No, it's not. Right. Listen, when I went down the Katy Trail when I was there Dallas. And let me tell you something. It was hot as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm a natural like hiker. I hike in L.A. all the time. But I was like, at one point, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to finish this. I'm going to have to turn around because it's getting a little too hot for me out here. And then I stopped at like the Katy some barbecue pit there on the right off the Katy Trail, the Katy Express or something like that it was called. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was great barbecue and a nice cold beer, which was nice.
I'm glad you enjoyed your time in Dallas. Thank you so much, buddy. I guess before we let you go, just to come full circle, what do you think about Micah and Malik Hooker in the podcast?
I first of all, I always love conflict. Like, to me, like, conflict is number one on my list for as a talk show host at heart, always. I don't have a huge issue with it. If Micah was not performing, if he was missing assignments because he's doing a podcast, that'd be one thing. But, like, he's still the best player, arguably, on the team, if not the best player. So I don't have a huge issue with it, but I love a little drama, and you guys know how to do drama as well as anybody in sports, that's for sure.
Thank you, man. You're the best. You're always so gracious with your time. We appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the week in NBA free agency.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. There he goes, the beast that is George Sedano, ESPN, our buddy here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, let's get into the top 10. We're just a couple days away from the 4th. 4th of July movies to watch on Independence Day. What's your go-to? 877-881-1053. Talk about that next on The Fam.